Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. I will be back in 1 minute to talk with Brad Sturdy about Illinois' 77-74 win over Ohio State. Stay tuned.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. I'm here with Brad Sturdy. We are in the Target Center after Illinois' 77-74 victory over Ohio State in a nail biter. That it was very close to Illinois being able to break it open in the first half, but it closed up with an 11-6 Ohio State run in the last 7 minutes, and that left it with a really tight game throughout. Brad, what were your initial thoughts on this?
Well, I thought Illinois just did enough to advance. I didn't think they played well. They had a rough game from, you know, two of their big three, although Coleman Hawkins made plays down the stretch with the offensive rebounds, the blocked shots, and you know, forcing the turnover. Overall, he really didn't have a good game. Marcus DeMass shot 3 of 16, which is very uncharacteristic for him. He missed a lot of layups, shots around the basket. You know, Terrence Shannon, you know, carried them at 28, but I thought the big key was getting, you know, 18 and 8 from Dane Danger. Dane Danger was fantastic in 20 minutes. He was a plus 12 on the plus minus, and he deserved to be a plus 12. He was really good. But Ty Rogers, 12 and 10. I think that Ty Rogers showed what he can do, even though here's the reality. Ty Rogers is not a point guard, and trying to make him a point guard obviously was a not a good experiment. But overall, I thought Ty Rogers was fantastic. You know, I think that the reality is that you can, if you can win against a team like Ohio State, who is, you know, I know that Ohio State is the 10 seed in the Big Ten, but we've talked about all year, this is an extremely talented team. This is a team that had won 5 in a row and 6 of 7. This is a team that is really good and at playing really well right now. And they, you know, Coach Diebler has done just a fantastic job keeping these guys together. And they really played well. And you got, sometimes you just got to give guys credit for what they did. And Illinois survived, though, despite everything kind of not going their way. At times, they found a way to win. And that's all you do in March is survive in advance.
Yeah, it was a 6-0 run over the last minute and 28 of the game, spearheaded by Coleman Hawkins, who found some way to sit on the bench for extended minutes and then come into the game at 100 miles an hour. And I thought that his play, whether it was contesting a battle three in a very risky type of fashion, getting offensive rebounds, making free throws down the stretch, I thought that ultimately, you know, he was kind of the difference maker when Shannon had carried the team throughout the afternoon. And I thought that Dane Danger's ability to be physical with Akpara was something that really made a difference out there. Can you kind of talk a little bit about the multiple lineups and what you saw with the team?
Well, Illinois knew that they could use Danger against, you know, the Ohio State bigs, that he could displace Akpara. He could go over Zed Key. So he could do some really good things down the post. They were able to use almost like some high-low action, get him in some dives. They use him in pick and roll where he can catch, you know, DeMass made a nice feed for an and one time. I thought Shannon made a really nice feed for an and one time on the screen and roll. So I thought those were really, he did a really good job there, I think. But, you know, with the lineups, you even had Ty and Dane out there a lot. And we always talk about maybe not having two non-shooters is tough, but that when both guys are willing to get to the basket and finish and score inside, you can still get away with it a little bit. And then they both attack the offensive glass, because here's the thing. If their man is helping, that means there's a clear lane to run for the rim. And you've seen Ty start doing that better. We saw Dane do that to today. These are things that you can do when you play these different lineups. And you saw even at the end, Coleman Hawkins with his 5 offensive rebounds, you know, a couple there at the end. Those are key. Those are huge plays. But you take advantage because everybody is so focused. Even though Damascus 3 of 16, they were still doubling him because they know that he's the guy. They're still worried about Terrence Shannon getting downhill. They're still helping out there. So when those guys are getting that kind of coverage, the other guys are open. Now, I will say this. Illinois is going to have to do a better job moving forward of getting something from the perimeter. 3-point line, 4 out of 15 from 3. They have to shoot the ball better. They got to make free throws. They struggle a little bit from the line. And, you know, those little things that are going to be the details as they try and, you know, advance in March. The other thing about this lineup, you know, we talked about Jameson Battle got off, you know, but he scores 21 points. Yeah, he had a good game, but took 16 shots. He was only 1 of 4 from 3. They made him hit some tough shots. Sometimes you just tip your cap. But Bruce Thornton was the key, and we talked about in the pregame, that was one of our keys. We can't let him get off. And not only did he get off, but he had 20 points and 10 assists. Now, when Terrence Shannon was guarding him, it was a totally different thing. The minute Shannon got 4 fouls, you saw them just attack, and they tried to rotate different guys. Moretti went in there. It was a complete mismatch. But, you know, every time he had a different guy on him, you could just see him kind of cook until Ty Rogers stepped up at the end and really forced him into a couple tough shots and you know, denied him getting in the paint and uses his length to make him shoot over the top. And I think that's what you saw Illinois do, was found it maybe a second defensive stopper on the perimeter.
Yes, and talking to Ty after the game, he said that what he really focuses on when he guards a point guard is he is really focused on not letting the point guard go where the point guard wants to go. And I think he did a nice job of making Thornton go in directions he didn't really want, which then slowed down that Ohio State attack. The other thing I thought was interesting out there is Illinois did this for the literally, it seems like multiple games in a row where they got up to 7 to 8 points. And then they started to, they then allow a team back in. We've seen that in game after game. I asked Coach Underwood about that afterwards, and he said he wasn't certain what it was, but they haven't been down by a lot this year, and they haven't been up by a lot this year. So he said he'd like to get rid of that. Brad, you had a theory on what happens when they get up by 7 or 8 points, you know, after they've like earned that lead. What do you think's going on as a guy who's coached for years?
Well, what I see is the minute they get that 7-point lead or 8-point lead, they start getting lackadaisical on offense and making plays that aren't there, like trying to force things, do things. And then they're always a little bit lackadaisical on defense when they get a lead because they think, oh, we just gonna outscore this team because they're so good offensively. Like even today, terrible offensive game, and they score 77 points. I mean, this is a, you know, when other teams have bad offensive games, you know, we talk about Illinois having bad offensive games, they've scored in the 70s. I mean, you know, this is a far cry from the 38 to 33 Bruce Weber days, right? I mean, against Penn State. So what has to happen is they have to stay committed to what they're doing. I think sometimes it's they try and make a play that isn't there. It's a difficult shot, maybe. It's a, you know, a pass that goes out of bounds. It's trying to make a play that's a little too much, as Al McGuire used to say, a little too much French pastry on that, right? So I think if they will do a better job of, you know, staying focused and staying engaged, and maybe in the tournament you do that. Now, the one thing I would like to see Brad do is, you know, you have the user lose a timeout in the first half, and I think there are times when he could use that. You know, you're up 8, and they cut it to 4. It's like, okay, let's use timeout here. Let's settle down. Let's go back to what we're doing. Great time to use the timeout. It's a use or lose in the first half. So there's no point not using it for something. And they wasted it today and didn't use it. So that's what I'd like to see maybe him do a little bit more of there.
Yes, the other thing that was kind of was really interesting is Illinois was held. And it's an interesting thing you'd say held to 1.1 points per possession. So you talk about having a challenging offensive game. We got to see, Draven Gibbs, LaHorn. We got to see Nico Moretti. Dane Danger came in. I thought he physically imposed his will on the interior. And I felt like what he brought to the table tonight, Ohio State had no answer for. Do you anticipate Dane being a bigger part of the rotation as the season goes on, or is this more a situational thing?
Well, I think they'd like to play more when Dane rebounds. People get to talk, well, they should play Dane more. They're going to play guys that play well. I mean, it just comes down to that. We saw that, you know, the one game against Iowa, what Moretti play like 18 minutes in the second half? I mean, or whatever it was. I mean, like, he went in and only went out for like another 30 seconds. You get to play when you play well. Dane was great tonight. You got to play more. It's not even scoring. I think people get too caught up in scoring. The fact is that when Dane rebounds and plays on the defensive end, he's going to play more. It's just that simple. And those are the kind of things that if he does that, he's going to see minutes. And I think he brings a presence on both ends that they need in certain matchups, especially, you know, if it's, you know, Indiana tomorrow with their inside game with Renault and with Khalil Ware, they're going to need Dane Danger inside. Now, if it's Nebraska and Rink Mass is stepping out and trying to shoot threes, playing off the bounce, then it's harder for Dane, but that's where Dane has to be really effective on offense and attack the glass, because then he can still get his time.
Perfect. So we've got a situation here where the team comes out with a 3-point victory, setting up a game tomorrow that's really important for the Illini, more because, and you're the bracketologist of the group, but more about what is possible for the Illini, who are currently, by most of the bracket makers, are looking at a 4 line right now. Maybe you could kind of talk about the opportunities that are out there for this team if they can win a second game, and also talk about what that Purdue game means to their bracket stand, their seeding.
Yeah, I do think Illinois can play themselves into a 3 line, especially when you look at the losses by other teams in conference tournament. I think a lot of people look at, you have to understand that every team's losing in conference tournaments. I mean, only one team from every conference tournament doesn't lose. And so everybody gets a loss here. And sometimes they get a loss that isn't good. I mean, we saw Duke lose to an NC State team that they probably shouldn't lose to. You see Kentucky losing tonight to Texas A&M in the quarterfinals. And the thing is, this one is, no national champion has, since 1983, has not made it to at least the semifinals of the conference tournament. Now, that is skewed a little bit, because if we go to Big Ten, they didn't have a conference tournament. So, but you know, at that time, but note, every team has made it to at least the semifinals of their conference tournament if they're going to win a national title. So when you're picking your bracket, there you go. But I do think that this is a team that has a chance with a win on Saturday, going to the Purdue game, to slide into that 3 spot. And then you're playing with house money again in the Purdue. I think they have the chance to get the final 3. And why is that important? Well, I think it's important because you don't want to play Houston or Connecticut in that 4 seed. Now, if they're going to draw at North Carolina or Tennessee, I think that, you know, North Carolina is really good too, but I think that those are teams that they can beat. I don't know that they can beat a Connecticut. Houston's they have a decent matchup against Houston at times, but also Houston just guards you so intently that if you have the defensive breakdowns that Illinois has, you don't want to see that team, because they're going to score some points and you can't score against them. I mean, it's very difficult. So, yeah, I think that getting to the 3 line could be a really huge advantage for Illinois to make the sweet, not only make sweet 16s, but also advance to maybe the Elite Eight, because instead of playing a one of those ones, you get a 2, and all those 2s are flawed. You know, not saying they can't beat you, or that you might even not be favored. They're all flawed. So that's why winning the Saturday game is really important. If you're going to make it that far, win on Saturday.
Perfect. So that's a little bracketology 101 for folks who are trying to figure out why teams, you know, are trying to get at least a couple wins under their belt to retain their seeding position. So really, this game was quite an effort from the Illini. A nice second half rally there, keyed by Coleman Hawkins, and I think, you know, Danger, Ty, and of course Terrence Shannon Jr. kept the Illini going throughout it. We'll be back tomorrow with our coverage. Brad, any final thoughts before we sign off here?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think you saw a team, maybe it's the 3 games in 3 days for Ohio State. Was it the, you know, we always talk about fatigue, but maybe it was Illinois who, I think these teams in the second half, you have an advantage. Ohio State has an advantage early because they played on the court, they've shot the basket, they've played 2 games, played a game yesterday. So, and then Illinois, on the other hand, coming in, haven't been in the arena, and you don't get shoot-arounds either like you would in normal arena. It's like the Tennessee game. And the last time Illinois had that, they didn't shoot very well. So normally, even when you get in the NCAA tournament, they'll get shoot-arounds in the arena, and they get to shoot in that gym. They don't get that here. So this is a different animal. So I think that they're practicing at, like, local, you know, high school places. So I think that's something to watch moving forward. And I think now they're under their belt. I think they'll shoot the ball a lot better on Saturday.
Perfect. So, of course, we will be back tomorrow after the game. We are certainly looking for an Illini victory, but those things have to be hard-earned, and whether it doesn't matter which team they play tomorrow, it's not going to be easy. But we will talk to you tomorrow. Go Illini.